It's wonderful how the American people display their sportsmanship.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. Whenever you are listening to this, this is the Often Daunted Podcast, and I am your host, Burke White. Thank you so much for tuning in this week, and welcome back for another off-season episode of the Often Daunted Podcast, digging into the latest in Indiana basketball for you. If this is your first time giving the show a try, I appreciate the hell out of you giving me a shot and tuning in for this episode. And yeah, welcome to the 99th episode. For those of you returning, thanks again for tuning in, and as always, if you haven't subscribed to the show before, please feel free to. Feel free to leave a 5-star review if you like it. If you hate the show, forget I said anything. Thank you so much. And this week on the Often Daunted Podcast, as we do each of these off-season episodes, I will be getting into the latest out of the Indiana camp, Indiana news that I think that I just wanted to bring to everybody's attention. I will be digging into some of the national news out there, some of the conference news, what those national talking heads out there are saying right now about the college basketball landscape, anything of note there. After that, I will be getting into Burke's Big Five for this week, and that being the Big Five, Big Ten colors. Just going through the school colors, ranking them, giving you my reasoning. And going to be a quick five. And then following that, we will get into the segment. Now, for the segment this week, I decided to give my way to earlies. You know, this Indiana transfer portal haul has gotten me very excited. And, you know, some of the just what I'm hearing out there from people who I am not used to hearing, you know, speak highly of Indiana has really got me excited to see where we stack up. And I like our chances. Our roster is filled to the brim with talent. Yeah, I wanted to give my personal way too early Big Ten power rankings. And this is going to be a fun one because this is the first one with that 18 teams. So, yeah, that's going to be the segment for this week. And then, of course, I'll get you on out of here with a Hoosier history hit. Going to be a fun episode. Again, thank you so much. And before we get into that Indiana news, I just wanted to say, congrats to the Pacers, you know, giving Adam Silver a solid series in this one. It's you know, I'm not an NBA fan by any measure, but I will lock in for the Pacers playoffs. Like, it's a big deal. I can't commit for the 82. That's crazy. I can't commit for the 82 when it seems like most of the players, most of the franchises can't commit to the 82. So, yeah, I will lock in for the playoffs. But it's so painful to go from being so invested in the Big Ten, seeing how foul merchants thrived in the Big Ten, and then immediately, you know, really getting geared up, locked in for the Knicks-Pacer series, where, I mean, Jalen Brunson is just that. He is mini-me to Zach Edey. No, that's too much of a credit to Zach Edey. It's ridiculous. And, I give the Pacers all the credit in the world, bringing it 2-2-2, making it absolutely, you know, taking it out of the ref's hands. That's what you have to do to beat this New York team this year, because the NBA wants you to lose. Pacers, guess what? The script's out. Everyone knows it. And I just give them all the credit in the world for leaving zero doubt and really taking it to them in that game 4. Now we'll see what kind of whistles they get in the garden. All right, enough NBA. On to the Indiana news. At the very top of the episode, I just wanted to say happy birthday to both Anthony Leal and Ja'Kai Newton, both celebrating birthdays today, both program guys coming back and, you know, having to set the tone in that locker room. These transfer guys, they are bringing the talent, and not to say that these guys don't have it, but it's going to be nice to have guys like Anthony Leal, and I hope Ja'Kai's built himself into that in this downtime, in the opportunity to just, you know, really get wrapped up in the program because he couldn't really push himself on the floor. So, I'm appreciative of both those guys returning. Glad to see they are rocking the candy stripes next year, and happy birthday to both Anthony Leal and Ja'Kai Newton. No way you listen, but happy birthday. This week, it was announced that Assembly Ball, the basketball tournament team for Indiana University alumni this summer, you know, it's the $1 million winner-take-all basketball tournament held each year. Indiana, it's been a while since we've had that alumni team in there, and I'm just so glad to have them back. And again, they are making splashes with the names they are bringing in. This week, we got the addition of Devontae Green. Devontae Green with the Hoosiers from 2016 to 2020. Absolutely underrated with that three-point shooting. You go back and look at it, his freshman year of three-point shooting was pretty special. 44% on the year. Pretty incredible for a freshman. Yeah, he averaged 4.4 points per game, but still got to play in 32 of them. 38% in his career as a Hoosier. Some of that shooting that we've missed that hopefully we've gotten back here. But awesome to see Devontae join this team. He is joining that squad that is currently Troy Williams, Juwan Morgan, and a guy who absolutely did the most with his time in the Candy Stripes, Miller Kopp. 1 year Hoosier, Hoosier all the way. That dude bleeds it. I love it. Super excited about this Assembly Ball team. And yeah, go and get that bread, boys. This week, Indiana received a crystal ball from Bellarmine big man Langdon Hatton. And I did check that pronunciation. Apparently it is Bellarmine. It isn't Bellarmine. But yeah, Bellarmine big man Langdon Hatton. And that is a Travis Branham crystal ball, so you know it's a good one. According to Tim Miller of the Views from the Shop podcast, had him on the show a few times, been on his show before. Great guy, great podcaster. Honestly, the way I've seen him, you know, really climbing those charts, really doing well for himself, and it's awesome to see him absolutely take his podcast on Ohio State to the next level. He had this to say about, I mean, short and sweet regarding Langdon Hatton, because Ohio State had also been involved with him. He had said he's just a 6'10 forward with high-end catch and shoot ability with production at the rim as well. Kept it sweet and simple. It was a tweet. I just wanted to give him a shout-out as well. Yeah, here's hoping that we can land Langdon Hatton. He will be the final piece. We are missing that reserve big man to, you know, really hold it down. I expect Luke Goody to get work in there at the four, but having a 6'10 guy just to be able to throw in there, to be able to work into that rotation down low, is going to be the chef's kiss of this transfer portal. If Woody can lock this up, it's been a perfect haul. I mean, it's already been damn near, but this would just be the completion of a masterwork. This will be the completion of a transfer haul to which all transfer hauls from now on should be compared and, you know, critiqued against. In other Indiana news, kind of Indiana adjacent, it's the Indy Star. You know, we're talking about it. We saw this week Greg Doyle get his hand slapped by the big bad Indy Star, as it was reported Tuesday. Greg Doyle would be off the Fever beat and also was to serve a 2-week suspension, according to reporter Bob Kravitz. He is also being banned from Fever games this season, which this makes sense for the Indy Star. Making sure that your main sports columnist is barred from Caitlin Clark's rookie season is a wild move. Not only for your paper, it's a, I mean, the WNBA can't be too pumped about that. Wild. I don't know. That's bittersweet for the WNBA. Greg would have written hella pieces for him, but unfortunately, he is off that beat. Also, regarding this move, just wild timing for this to be announced, as it seems like the internet may have just started getting over the initial Greg Doyle hard hand exchange. But for this to happen, it only reignited it, and it's just brought it all back up. And yeah, he's your sports guy, and he was like, "Yo, Dan Hurley's crazy. That's alarming," you know. Whoa, yeah, he is actually a wild guy once you watch a few UConn games. What? Main sports guy. Well, yeah, just it was wild timing for them to actually have to announce the suspension, you know, 2 weeks after the fact. It's crazy timing. What's going on over there, Indy Star? Come on. Figure it out. Quit making us look ridiculous. But you're making the people of Indy look ridiculous from the top down, Indy Star. How I wish nobody affiliated with the people of Indiana with all that, but they do. This Thursday on the Sleepers podcast, if you haven't listened to them, it's a Big Ten podcast discussing just daily podcasts. They absolutely grind creating, just putting out stuff for you to listen to, watch, and all that. And this week, their Thursday episode was an absolute treat. If you can, go back and listen to it in your downtime this week. It's just breaking down, you know, the rosters of both Indiana and Purdue. They had done it with Michigan and Michigan State prior. Those are their two preferred fan bases. They're fans of each, respectively. And they really dig into the disparity in talent between Indiana and Purdue. And I just wanted to say, hey, go give it a listen, because it is a joy to listen to. It is pure ear candy. You're going to have a good time. Do yourself a favor. Give it a listen after this episode. But this week, Indiana found themselves in the current iteration of Joe Lunardi's bracketology, with Indiana and Purdue both being the two highest seeded Big Ten teams at number 6. And basketball brain Bart Torvik has been keeping up with the latest transfer acquisitions in his rankings. And in his latest release of his ranking projections, he has Indiana at number 21. Now, Bart Torvik, he's one of those number guys. He is one of the heavier number guys, and Indiana has never performed to the numbers. Indiana has to start performing to the numbers, and hopefully we can take that 21 and, you know, really climb on that and snowball. 21's a decent start. I like the room to climb. Also, in regards to just how stacked this Indiana roster currently is, not even Gary Parrish can deny you guys. Not even Gary Parrish. And if you don't know, Gary Parrish is on the Mount Rushmore of Indiana trolls. Do not let him know I said that. He would love it. The Hoosiers are loaded. Like, they are. Gary Parrish putting us at number 17 tells me that. A Gary Parrish number 17 way too early preseason top 25 ranking is a top 10 nod from our boy Gary when put through a bias filter, if you ask me. And last person out there with their latest rankings is the Portal Combat trademarker himself, John Rothstein, who currently has the Hoosiers sitting at number 15 in the Rothstein 45. I just wanted to bring all these up because I wanted to say it's good to be back in the, you know, conversation, being talked about. I appreciate the hell out of this staff for putting together a roster that, I mean, pass be damned, you know. This roster is so stacked, you can't deny that they're going to do something this season. There are plenty out there who don't trust Mike Woodson to be the one to be able to get that out of them. I do. You know, being able to have the vote of confidence from the guys that he had come back as quickly as he did. Yeah, sure, financial security might have something to do with that. But nonetheless, if they found that situation untenable, they would have left. They would have. And they didn't. That tells me a hell of a whole lot about Mike Woodson. You know, it might not to you. You might not read into it that deep. I am choosing to. And yeah, the way that these rosters, these projections are starting to come out just tells you that this team is so talented. They don't want to rank us. They don't. They do not. They just can't afford to not with how talented this team is now. Like, if they wanted to keep, they would keep us down. They want to keep us down so bad. I say it all the time. They hate us because they ain't us. And it's just good to see that it's undeniable that Indiana belongs here. Good to be back. Jesus. Yeah, it's preseason rankings, but here in the offseason, it's all we got. You know, we're grasping at straws. We're trying to make the most of what we're given here on the Often Daunted podcast. And yeah, I'm going to choose to get a little excited about them, build a little hype in myself for this coming season. It was a lighter week of Indiana news, but I just wanted to bring up two other awesome pieces I read. I'm not going to go into the details about them because I want you to go check them out. Please go to Inside the Hall. Mike Schumann wrote an awesome piece about a conversation between Juwan Morgan and Theo Princeton, a past Tar Heel in class of 2014, five-star recruit. They just went into why he didn't commit. You know, he goes into them just both seeing Tom Green as an absolute madman who ran crazy practices, crazy hours, just hitting the floor. And, you know, it was to be respected by Theo, but he got into why he just couldn't gut it, or it just wasn't for him. Great read. Go check that out by Mike Schumann on Inside the Hall. Oh, one thing I do want to say about that article, Princeton talks about his visit. When he brought up the day he visited, I was like, I don't know if there's a single game in my time on campus that of course, the Kentucky game, but the watch shot, I guess. But right up there is that Michigan-Indiana 1-3 game. That was the Oladipo almost dunk, when Oladipo literally almost had probably the best dunk of all time. A dunk so good, it's still a highlight, even though it didn't go in. That game was incredible. Burke at point guard, I think. Trey Burke. I'm just dropping old guys, you know, just naming dudes. It's the best. All right. The second thing I wanted to bring up, also another Hoosier writer I'm really starting to enjoy is Jordan Bontrager with Hoosier State of Mind. Longer opinion pieces, really enjoy them for the lack of just, you know, here's the numbers. Jordan seems to write in a less formal, more convo in a bar type, you know, style, but still with a level of literary skill that I just respect the hell out of. If you haven't, go check out a piece called Do Not Snooze on the Crispy Combo of Cream and Crimson Cookers, Mbako and Renew. Dude, you come up with a headline that clever. I'm in. And yeah, go check them out. Awesome reads out there. Plenty of guys out there in the streets doing the work here in the offseason covering the Hoosiers, and yeah, they deserve the credit. Go read these. They're great reads. I'm not going to read them on the show. Go check them out. I told you it was a light week of Indiana news. Once you're filling out this team, yeah, you know, we want a transfer commitment from one more big man to fill out this roster, you know, really gain confidence in the depth just from top to bottom. But without that, no news is good news. You know that that's the case in the offseason. Once you have that roster figured out mostly, you know, no news is always accept. Credit to the Hoosiers for staying out of trouble this week. Knock on wood. So with all of that out of the way, let's get into the conference news, the national news, just, you know, everything happened out there in college basketball. And the highest rated transfer in the portal, Kadari Richmond from Seton Hall, has committed to play for Rick Pitino in St. John's next season. Richmond was the number one transfer in the portal. He was a first-team All-Big East selection who averaged 15.7 points, 7 rebounds, and 5.1 assists. He was absolutely the catalyst for the Pirates, and that tournament run through the NIT championship, yeah, it's an NIT, and you should really get to building your roster. Well done, Woody. But Kadari Richmond is a baller, and yeah, he is taking his talents to Rick Pitino and St. John's. You know, St. John's had a haul last portal, didn't they? On to Pat Knight, who we saw this week had taken the Marion University job. And this will be Pat Knight's first job back at the head coach position after 10 years removed. His last college head coaching job, which was his position at Lamar. Glad to see him back in Indiana. Yeah, whatever you think about Pat Knight as a coach, I like having Bobby's kin back in the state. And yeah, I like that it's Marion University. We went to that Marion University exhibition game this season, me, my wife, and our oldest. And we sat next to one of the Marion players' parents up in probably like row 40. And that the kid was, their son was going off from beyond. There was one player on that team, if you remember that game, who was hitting the three. And he was just always a Hoosier fan. And it was awesome to see that dude. Yeah, sorry for the side story. I just wanted to bring up this moment. It was awesome to see that dude's family watching their son, you know, score in Assembly Hall. Not only, like, he was doing it. And it was cool, even though it was an opponent. You know, I don't want to see many people score in Assembly Hall, but you could tell that was a Hoosier family. Like, his younger brothers were rooting for the Hoosiers. Like, he was taking them on, and they were rooting for the Hoosiers. Yeah, it was cool to be in the proximity of that family experiencing that. And, for that, I have a little sweet spot in my heart now for Marion University. With the Pat Knight connection, it just needs to be every year. Every year, let's give them that exhibition. Let's let some of those Marion University players, let's let their families experience that. Because I was so happy to just see somebody that happy. It was cool. Contract those exhibitions. This week, Ohio State had a big get as a Duke transfer, and a former five-star McDonald's All-American, Sean Stewart, has committed to play for Jake Diebler in the Buckeyes. This last season, playing behind Mark Mitchell and Kyle Flapowski, he didn't get much time, but an elite athlete, you know, he broke Zion's vertical leap record at Duke, measuring in at 36 inches. This kid's an incredible athlete, five-star McDonald's All-American. We had one of those previously tied to Duke, and we are damn glad we have him. So this is a big get for the Ohio State Buckeyes. On the national scale, this week we saw Florida transfer Riley Kugel have to reopen his recruitment after decommitting from the transfer class for Bill Self. Matt Norlander of the CBS College Basketball Podcast, he had reported that portal update, Riley Kugel won't play at Kansas per sources. Bill Self told at the Andy Katz Monday, Kugel's future with KU was up in the air. Kugel, 9.2 points per game at Florida, is on CBS Sports lists of notable 2024 transfers. And after that report by Matt Norlander, Trilly Donovan had retweeted it. Yep, I'm bringing up Trilly. Trilly Donovan had said, PSA to student athletes, stop dropping classes mid-semester so you can get all of your credits and transfer wherever you want, implying that this Riley Kugel situation was a result of credit issues, which, you know, credit issues at Michigan is one thing. Credit issues at Kansas, I have to imagine, is something entirely different, and yikes, if that's the case. So that extremely deep transfer class of Kansas getting a little more shallow. You know, that's what we like to see here on the Often Taunted podcast. One forward who I knew would not come in to back up, but just somebody who I would have loved to see as a Hoosier, Norchad Omier to Baylor, absolutely wrecked us as a Miami Hurricane in that NCAA tournament game. But this last season, he averaged 17.0 points and 10.0 rebounds, you know, tallying 17 double-doubles while just also averaging a double-double in not only that last season with 17 and 10, but he averaged a double-double in each of his four college seasons. Norchad Omier is an undersized dog in the front court, and Baylor gets an absolutely game-changing bruiser. This coming season, the Big Ten will be able to call 16 of the ESPN 100 for the class of 2024 as their own, and this is a really nice haul for the conference, if you ask me. We saw Michigan State get three of those top 100 players, each of Purdue and Rutgers with two, and Indiana, Illinois, Iowa, Maryland, Michigan, Ohio State, UCLA, USC, and Washington each coming in this season with one of those ESPN top 100 freshmen. I brought up combine snubs last week, but I wanted to emphasize Marcus Damask this week. The fact that Bronny is going through it and Damask isn't is, it's bullshit. And Marcus Damask absolutely deserves to be there. Who wouldn't want to check out what that guy's got? You know, what the actual physical measurements are. What the actual physical measurements and, you know, physical, you know, combine measurements for him. What's his strength? What's his speed? Like, where does he actually stack up? Because all of the other stuff, the intangibles, Marcus Damask had that this season. That guy is a playmaker. Yeah, absolutely. It's crazy that Bronny is going. I mean, of course, Bronny's getting in. It's LeBron's son. He's getting in. He is. But that being said, he should have to file LeBron's medicals for the combine. He should. If this whole thing with Bronny is for teams to know what they're getting into, it's teams trying to get into the ear of LeBron and bring him into the fold. So, like, LeBron's medicals should be a part of that. Like, if the combine, you need to enter all that, LeBron needs to be in tow with Bronny. And again, this is not doing him any favors, forcing this on him, but apparently this is where we're at with Big Ten transfer, USC zone, you know, the Big Ten zone. Bronny James. For God's sakes, Marcus Damask was a first team All Big Ten selection. He has size. I don't get it. Also on my side, I guess, would be Brad Underwood. I don't know if that's the guy I want in my foxhole, but Underwood on the snub had this to say. He had said, flabbergasted, shocked. His ability as a basketball player, somebody is going to see that through the workouts. To not have him in those is a grave mistake. His best basketball is way in front of him. A young man who was a power forward who is now really a point guard and a lead guard, as he continues to develop in that position, I think his future is really bright. I think he's got a long career wherever that may be in the NBA or Europe. He's so dedicated, so committed, and such a great teammate. I was very, very shocked that a first-team All-Big Ten player had the year that he had a triple-double in the NCAA tournament wasn't at least a part of the G League Elite camp, which he wasn't a part of that G League Elite camp either. Like, that's the 45 next dudes after the 70-some combine invitees. Like, that's crazy. All Big Ten selection. Not even undersized for his position. He's a tall guard. And Boo. Not, like, you know what? Say what you will about Boo Booey. Boo not being invited in Wintrust's combine. Come on. Right in his own backyard. It's brutal. Sure. Yeah, he's 24 years old, which the NBA ain't really taking the flyers on the 24-year-olds. But nonetheless, I think he could help a team. I really have a feeling that 6'2", you know, 180 frame may be the issue. But that is just, like, it's crazy that that's just too much for these NBA execs sometimes. Like, he's a baller, and I think he could make the cut. He could contribute to something, right? Or am I just so jaded by my just hyper focus on college that I just can't even understand how much. Yeah, I mean, watching the playoffs is crazy. They're so much better at basketball. Yeah, I just don't get it. It's Chicago, man. Invite Boo Booey. He's been like the face of Chicago college basketball for the last 3 years too, I guess. With that odd, you know, endorsement of our opponents, last bit of conference news, national news out there is conference realignment. Conference realignment has hit again. As earlier this week, Conference USA announced that Missouri State University will be joining the league for the 2025 to 2026 academic school year. And with that move, Missouri State will be following Kennesaw State and the University of Delaware, who also agreed to join that conference. Immediately following that announcement, a few hours later, the West Coast Conference announced themselves the additions of both Grand Canyon University and Seattle University for their 2025 to 2026 academic calendar year. Both Seattle and Grand Canyon University being the two to join Oregon State and Washington State in the West Coast Conference as, you know, these realignment additions. That being said, Oregon State and Washington State, both big enough names, big enough brands, they are keeping themselves at an arm's length as an affiliate member. You know, it's a two-year, like, we're going to play with you until we figure it out, it seems. So for the time being, with both Oregon State, Washington State, and now Seattle University and Grand Canyon University in the West Coast Conference, that conference has gotten, I mean, it's gotten roughly 33% bigger over the course of a year. Come the 2025 to 2026 season, that conference will now have a total of 13 teams. That's all I got for you this week on the conference news, the big, you know, the national news out there. Let's get into the Big Five for this week. For this week's Burke's Big Five, it is the Burke's Big Five Big Ten school colors. You know, these are the color combos that I really respect in this conference. I'm doing this in the offseason, just Big Five each episode. These are entirely my opinion. I am not meaning to offend anyone. It's just my tastes, okay? Hopefully this segment just gives you a little insight into, you know, the brain of myself, you know, my personal taste gives you a little insight as to what's going on here. And so at number five, we have Northwestern. Northwestern, I respect the purple, you know? It's not used out there much in college sports, college athletics, but the purple and white, it is a good, clean look. A nice subversion of the basic red and white, blue and white combos you see out there. Clean, I respect it. Color royalty. Number four, Penn State. You could say the navy and white is boring. It's a clean look. The branding has done so well to boost these two colors for this number four spot. The traditional navy and white, it's clean. You know, it's understated. It's ultimately uninspired. But the way the football branding has taken over basically to being like able to own the color white is in football is truly impressive. So a Big Ten school color, for sure, Penn State's are up there. At number three, I have cream and crimson. Okay, I have cream and crimson on here. Many idiots have red and white in this conference. Red and white is dumb. Okay. And yeah, Ohio State, you're calling it scarlet. We know it's red. All of you guys are posers. Ours is cream and crimson. It's different than yours, and it's better. We're different, and we're cooler. Cream and crimson at number three. At number two, UCLA. Yeah, I'm throwing on the West Coast edition of the UCLA Bruins. And the baby, the powder blue, whatever blue you call that, it rules. It does. The color scheme is clean. Maybe almost as a preconditioned response, I think it's clean. Like, just so many historic images of the UCLA uniform in those wooden teams that you... I mean, most of them are in black and white now that I think about it. But nonetheless, the blue and yellow, the blue and gold, whatever it is, it's clean. Lastly, we have the Oregon Ducks. Some people hate it. Some people love it. I love it. I think it's different. It sets itself apart. And, you know, the Nike help, sometimes it's over the top what they're doing up there in Eugene. But the yellow and green, I can't knock it. It is a elite color combination for your school colors. And my number one spot on Burke's Big Five for this week. Thank you so much for bearing that and sticking with me. Now, after a little word, you know, just plugging the podcast, you know, just pumping myself up a bit, I am going to get into the way too early Big Ten power rankings for you. So please stick around and Yeah, we'll get right into that. Once again, thank you so much for tuning into the Often Daunted podcast. I can't give you enough appreciation for just giving the show a try and seeing if you enjoy it. If you do enjoy it, again, feel free to leave a review. Feel free to subscribe. It really helps out my ego, really helps me, you know, keep chugging through this. This has been just an incredible hobby. I've made contacts, made friends through this that I just otherwise wouldn't. And I appreciate you guys for continuing to listen and, you know, fuel the efforts here. A little goes a long way. If you haven't followed me across socials, please go ahead everywhere at Often Daunted. Thank you so much. And yeah, let's get into the segment for you. All right, the way too early Big Ten power rankings. Okay, these are my own, entirely subjective and biased, okay? Do not, there aren't numbers behind this. There aren't, I just put this list together because it's the off season and I got shit that, I just have to find shit to do, okay? So here is Burke White's way too early Big Ten power rankings for the 2024 to 2025 season. Jesus, that sounds like a fake year, 2025. Let's get into it. Let's start at number 18. At number 18, we have Iowa. Iowa, it's not going well. What else can you say about it? It seems to be a squad losing everyone to the portal, like everyone, blood included, with Pat McCaffrey heading to Butler this season. Fran McCaffrey, there are some of these coaches that are going to get run out of the league with this NIL stuff. And if Fran can't pivot quickly, it seems like his number may be coming. Yeah, it sucks. It sucks losing Peyton Sanford to the draft, Fran, but you got to do something. You got to figure it out to get yourself out of that last spot. At number 17, we have Washington. In the basketball sphere of the West Coast editions, they are the, you know, the weakest. Even with the nice schedule of Maryland, Nebraska, Illinois, Purdue, and Indiana all being home-only opponents, this Washington team seems to be entering realignment down bad. New coach, they'll be looking to turn it around. I am genuinely afraid for their program, for their basketball program, that the success in football may have even altered priorities to make a first impression there to a point that their basketball team, their program, basketball program will be hurt for it. Maybe that's dumb. Maybe the football program being successful makes money for your basketball program and it all goes around. But I just have a feeling for them to keep up in this arms race that is now between not only them, Oregon and USC in football, but now Ohio State and Michigan. And, you know, the rest of the Big Ten and Indiana now, you know, we're bringing that bag to the conversation, which I mean, side tangent, shout out Julian Lewis, scheduling his official visit for Indiana. And again, if that's just a favor to coach for, I appreciate the hell out of it. People, there's some real juice around this being a possibility, but even if it isn't, and he's just, you know, giving Indiana the official visit as a solid that like, hey, top recruits, this is one to be considered. I appreciate it. But yeah, sorry, that was all to say Washington basketball number 17. Sorry. Have you guys, when Paul Mulcahy committed to them, I just never heard of him again. Just never heard of him again. Crazy. At number 16, I have Northwestern. Northwestern coming in at the 16th spot. I think the post-Bowie era is going to hit like a freaking linebacker, man. I think both Ty Berry and Ryan Langborg are back. But they just do not have what may have been the Big Ten's biggest backcourt X factor the last two seasons. Boo Booey was different than, you know, pretty much anything Northwestern had seen up until him. And I have a feeling there will be a slight adjustment back to the norm for our friends there in Evanston. At number 15, I have Penn State. And if Ace Baldwin Jr. is returning, I believe that Ace Baldwin Jr. will continue to give backcourts in this conference absolute fits with his active hands. They're just relentless on the ball, primary ball handler. I don't have a lot of faith in the Penn State team as a whole, but I genuinely think if you have Ace Baldwin on your team, you could have an Ace Baldwin game or two that, you know, is going to help you out in a way that you're shooing to not be dead last. Let's just leave it at that. Like, he'll give you a win or two that'll really, really set you apart from the bottom come the end of the season. Right above Penn State at the number 14 spot, I have USC. The Bronny era comes to an end, and the Musselman era has begun. Even though they have reason to be excited, you don't hire new coaches because things are sweet, you know? Like, you don't hire new coaches because your program, like, it's running without a hitch. USC was bad last season. USC's down bad. Well, I mean, bad. Their coach just left. No, I still think USC is going to be down because while we have our key pieces returning that are going to be able to set a tone and, you know, really just bring the guys into the fold, into the community, even just getting their, like, footing in a new city. It's nice to have those old players there. USC is going to have none of that. This season, USC has one returning guy with eligibility, and they have 11 transfers on the, you know, so far they have coming in. I have to imagine there's going to be more. They have 11 so far. And for just that alone, yeah, you could imagine Musselman is able to get the best out of those 11 because that's kind of how he's done his whole thing. But I'm also going to argue that Musselman has not once left a position better than he found it. And so just don't fall in love too quick. USC fans like that. He left Arkansas down bad. If Cal didn't come in and save the day for them, yeah, it was going to be rough. above USC at number 13. And this is the weakest one, I feel like. I mean, the weakest I have confidence in, but I'm going to put them a little higher than they might maybe should be. But number 13 is Minnesota. From where they were at the end of this last season until now is absolutely heartbreaking to see as just a fan of sports. Like, they were a program with tons of momentum. Ben Johnson had those guys rolling. All these young guys, like, they were going to come back. It was going to be a big season. Now they're nothing. I mean, they just have lost everyone but Dawson Garcia. When I had initially thought that they were bringing back everyone but Dawson Garcia as the season was wrapping up. All that to say, Dawson Garcia is not going to be able to win the Big Ten. And with just everything they've lost, like, Cam Christie, I'm sorry, I have to imagine if he isn't going to the NBA, if he decides to come back, he's probably transferring somewhere that's going to pay him as if he were in the NBA. And I don't know if that's Minnesota. This transfer portal has been the haves and the have-nots, and it's been awesome to be one of the haves, because watching the have-nots like Minnesota, it's tough for them. Yeah, that might be condescending, but we put that much money into basketball, I'm going to, you know, you can kind of back it up. They like football more than us, I think. Maybe. Don't win shit, but maybe they do. Number 12 in this incredibly long list, 18 damn teams this season. Number 12 is Oregon, the second from the, the third, running through the West Coast here, Oregon. Oregon was able to win the final Pac-12 tournament. They're coming into this season as the forever Pac-12 tournament champs now. While I don't believe they are much better than Dawson Garcia and whoever else they're going to put out there with him, the scheduling benefits of Illinois, Indiana, and Purdue all being your at-home opponents, that gives Oregon a big favor. For that reason, I would expect them to finish above Minnesota. At number 11, I have Wisconsin. And Wisconsin has been losing. I don't have them lower because I just can't put them lower. I mean, I have a feeling that they'll be able to field the team, and it's going to give me a fits. It's going to be a pain in my ass any way they field it. So I'm going to put them at number 11. Yeah, I told you this list is biased. Their team right now, their roster is dry. They're losing Storr, losing Hepburn, losing Esiegen. Wisconsin has just been losing since March, and it doesn't seem to be setting up for a promising season to come. Realistically, with the talent compared to some of the teams I named before, they should be lower. They should. I just cannot bring myself to put them any worse than number 11 because they are still going to be a pain in Indiana's ass. Because they're always a pain in Indiana's ass. At number 10, I have Michigan State, much better than number 2, if you ask me. Michigan State, Izzo needed to address the front court. Seeing Mati Sissoko walk, it could indicate he may be going to get a vet to help out Xavier Booker, like a proven producing big man down low, once you saw Sissoko walk out the door. But then he got B-tier wing scorer Frankie Fiddler and called it a portal. The game has passed Izzo's camp by. I'm calling my shot. First season, Izzo misses the dance at the number 10 spot in my way too early preseason Big Ten rankings. Now's the point of the movie where you go and get a drink, go to the restroom, because we are halfway through this. All right, let's go to number 9, Nebraska Cornhuskers. I have Nebraska there. Fred Hoiberg and company. I had so much faith in them, and they like heading into next season, and they would be so much higher than number 9. If not for the single most reliable piece on that team from last season, just announcing that he will be missing next season for surgery. Losing the Dutch destroyer, Rinkmast, is a dagger in the heart of Husker Nation, and that camp has to be scrambling to find somebody to replace who was, you know, the most dependable piece on that team, if you ask me. He operated in a manner, it ran through him. He did a lot of the trace, you know, high post passing. Like, it ran through him, and that is a huge loss for Nebraska. I still think they have shooting. They will find shooting. They will, you know, make their guys shooters. So that's why I have them at number 9. At number 8, I have Michigan. Dusty has some real steam rolling in Ann Arbor. You know, it's tough to get guys there you need. Whether he's going to come out and say it or not, there is a hurdle with building your team in Ann Arbor. Somehow, some way, Dusty has been able to do that. It's not like he's not going out and getting the cream of the crop guys, you know, like some teams. But nonetheless, he is making the most of this portal for just a team that Michigan was a laughing stock last year. With the addition of Dusty, with the additions of Roddy Gale from a rival, absolutely joke of a rivalry, if that's happening. That being said, we might just have to mess around and buy Kanon Ketchins if these Purdue guys fall in love with him too much. But yeah, hilarious to get Roddy Gale. With additions like Roddy Gale, Vlad Golden, and Danny Wolf, great additions. Vlad Golden is a proven, like, he's a Final Four player. But you're not going to convince me that whatever front court Michigan is able to field next year, they're not going to get eaten alive by the likes of a rotating cast of Umar, Malik, Luke, and McKenzie. Like, when we just want to mess around, get funny with it, and slide McKenzie to the 4. Everyone's really hyped on Dusty, and it's good for them. Good for Dusty. But I think when push comes to shove, there are some teams who have some bigger pushers. at your number seven spot, this is probably the one I'm going to look back on and be like, most wrong about that, or the next one. Definitely, possibly, probably number six. But at number seven, I have the Illini. And the Illini, for the Illini, if it weren't for the belief that Underwood will fill out this roster and have it ready to compete, like, they would be far lower. Because this roster is barren right now. If it were for him having landed any transfer of note like prior seasons, like, they'd be much higher. I believe he'll fill it out, but boy. Like, it's getting about that time, Brad Underwood. Illinois, like, they've usually had the guys by now. And yeah, TikTok, Mr. Wood. TikTok. Again, I just can't put him lower because he's a great coach. He's going to have them ready to go, like, whoever it is. Number six, this is the one I'm going to be most wrong about. I know it. Because I'm always wrong about them. I always think they're going to be better than they are. Maryland. You know, DHS needs to take a huge step forward for this team to remain at the number six spot. I believe he will take a step forward because, I mean, it was bad last season. He has nothing. Like, there's no choice but to take a step forward. Derek Queen, they got him. Yeah, they got him. He will be Big Ten ready. That's why we wanted him here in the first place. He's that big of a difference. He will be Big Ten ready. While he will be Big Ten ready, he won't be Malik Renew and Umar Ballo ready. I truly believe that. But nonetheless, he brings to Maryland a reliability that they haven't had there. And, you know, notes to any Maryland's fans out there, if you're telling me to be afraid of Derek Queen and Julian Reese, just leave Julian Reese out of it, man. Julian Reese, making the statement here on the Often Daunted podcast, Julian Reese is the most overhyped big man in this league. I think he had 0 points in the Purdue game. I do not have the faith in him to do it. I have faith in Derek to be able to contribute from the front court, but I mean, I'm ready to see what Umar Ballo and Malik Renew are doing to Maryland. It's going to be a fun game. Yeah, Maryland number six. Should have a good team. Went out and got some transfer guards that'll make a difference, but still have Kevin Willard, which, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people are going to say about the Hoosiers because that's all they got right now. Our roster's so stacked. That's the only bullet they're going to shoot your way right now. On to number five. At number five on this list, a team that will be having a just ridiculously unwarranted amount of hype heading into next season, I'm going to put them at number five. Rutgers. Bringing in Harper and Bailey is massive for the Rutgers Scarlet Knights, and an NBA backcourt can get a hell of a whole lot done in college. But Clifford Omorui not being fired up to be a part of what is Rutgers' most hype season, maybe damn near in forever, it says a lot to me. Maybe it shouldn't be considering the money that Cliff went out and found, but for some reason, it just really does. So yeah, they have the superstars coming in that backcourt. Losing Cliff, such a big loss. And yeah, whether, you know, go get that financial stability, but Cliff leaving says something to me. Don't really know what it says, but it says something about this program to me. At number four, I have UCLA. This is the basketball brand to be celebrated from our Western acquisitions. And I think they're going to try to make a statement here. Like, they are the old royalty. They are the blue blood. They're at the mountaintop of basketball programs, and they don't want to get punked on their first season in the Big Ten. I have to imagine UCLA is going to be able to put together a respectable team, a respectable season, and really make a, you know, statement in the first season in the Big Ten. Yeah, guys, top four is a statement with 18 teams in your conference. At number three, I have Ohio State. Yeah, if you can't tell where I'm going with this. At number three, I have Ohio State. Again, I said it's entirely subjective and biased, so don't blame me. It's the way I feel. At number three, Ohio State. Like, this, I said before, they got that McDonald's All-American previously tied to Duke, and I will state again, I really like five-star McDonald's All-Americans who were previously tied to Duke. I say he was previously tied. He actually played there. We just got the guy tied to him, but you know what I mean. Like, can Diebler really take this conference by storm this way, like, in his very first season? I like the moves they've made. I really do. They're putting together a team that is going to compete in this conference, and yeah, Diebler's making a hell of a case for him being the right guy just in being able to get these guys locked up. Yeah, there's money involved, there's all that, but he has to be pitching them a pretty picture to have gotten, like, the caliber of guys they have this transfer portal. Well done for them. I'm expecting big things. I have them at number three because I think Diebler can keep this rolling. It'll certainly be interesting to see, but for some reason, I feel Ohio State at number three. And you guys, the talent, other than this conference is light on proven talent next season. It is. Of course, there's going to be guys that step up and make a name for themselves and really take the conference by storm. But as far as proven production goes, Indiana has really set themselves apart. And that's why I don't really know how I feel about the other teams in each of these conferences, in each of these spots. But yeah, and don't tell me that I'm just being an Indiana homer thinking that Indiana set itself apart. Indiana has definitely set itself apart talent-wise from the rest of this conference. Back to number two. At number two, I have the Purdue Boilermakers. Yeah, Purdue at number two. I have to put them here because, you know, it's Matt Painter. They're going to compete for the Big Ten. They're going to compete at the top of the Big Ten. I'm done. Nope. I can't. I'm going to put them at two just because, yeah, it seems like the entirety of the media industry has all joined a silent agreement where we're going to let Purdue sit there until we can't. Until, like, they have proven, until they prove otherwise. I guess I'm going to be in that with them, but I genuinely feel this Purdue team is destined for a fall off. I felt the same way after Jaden Ivey, but Jaden Ivey didn't affect the game of basketball in which Zach Edey did. Zach Edey was equivalent to 3 foot of mud on the basketball court at any time, and just the way he made the other team change their entire play style, other than UConn, I guess. But the manner in which they decided that they were okay with replacing that with six freshmen. Yeah, Kanan Catchings, he's going to be a big piece. He's going to contribute. It isn't Zion Williamson. It isn't Jason Tatum. He isn't one of those guys. He's going to contribute. He's going to be awesome. But he ain't one of those guys. And in case, like, Zach Edey was, in college, one of those guys. He was a two-time National Player of the Year. You had to go out and get something to replace that. Because they didn't replace that, I can feel much more comfortable in my number one selection. Everyone says that Braden Smith is going to just keep the assists rolling. And I have to say, it's pretty crazy we're not all gonna bring up that, like, fifth grader could probably get an assist to Zach Edey in college basketball, but we're not gonna do that. Purdue number two, final. Purdue number two until the season hits. Like, with the Matt Painter bump, he deserves to be there. Like, Matt Painter's gonna coach the hell out of any of the guys he's given, so set him there. Number one, your Indiana Hoosiers. Fingers up, fingers out. For all the haters, Indiana's back. We are coming for the crown. This team is so stacked. Everything that happened to Indiana last season, if it paid off in this roster, I'll take it all day. Because it seemed like a lot of the events last season were exactly what was needed to light fires under the right asses to get this team where it needs to be, which is at the number one spot on my way too early Big Ten power rankings. And I'm not going to be the only one. Like, it isn't just going to be Indiana fans who see this. Look at the rosters. They're going to do us justice. It's a good time to be an Indiana fan. Get in. Get in now. I can't stress it enough. This staff has really done their work. And given this fan base, who so desperately deserves a team to be excited about, a team to be excited about. Indiana Hoosiers, number one, on the way too early preseason. Burke's often daunted top 25, whatever you want to call it. That's what it is. Thank you. Let's get into the Hoosier History Hit, and then we'll get you on out of here.
This is your Hoosier History Hit.
For your Hoosier History Hit, I wanted to, you know, it's the month of May. It's May here in Indiana. I wanted to share just some Indy 500 insight, and I wanted to start with this week's Hoosier History Hit being on the Snake Pit. So yeah, let's get into the Snake Pit at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. The term Snake Pit was first published in reference to the stretches of grass along the southwest turn being filled with sunbathers, smoochers, and picnickers. You know, just people having a good time watching the cars go by. That's the Snake Pit over there, those stretches of grass. That first public reference was published in 1961. By the year 1968, the southwest area of the first turn, termed the Snake Pit by police, was the scene of the most arrests, deputies said. Numerous people were treated for cuts suffered when they either fell on glass or were knocked down in the crowd. And, like, it was getting so rowdy. I mean, in that 8-year time span, it got so rowdy that by 1969, track officials and police had pledged to break up any trouble the second it started. Like, they would have multiple spotters around the Snake Pit and just roughly 40 roving guards who would, all be called to swarm on a location by one spotter. From an Indianapolis Star Race Day article from 1970, the race was in its waning minutes when a young fellow, apparently full of false courage from a bottle, attempted to stagger onto the track. A guard ran up and blocked his way. He took a swing at the guard. The first guard was joined by another. They threw the guy to the ground and then into the small creek on the infield side of the track. The guy still hadn't had enough. He tried to scramble up the creek bank towards the guards and the track. Four buddies climbed over the infield fence, ran to the creek, and threw him back into the water, and then carried him away holding onto his arms and legs. 3 years following the creek event, on May 12th, the Indianapolis News reported, after numerous fights during practice and following the throwing of a beer bottle onto the track yesterday, police stationed spies. They were watching thousands of fun-loving, beer-drinking young people in the infield area inside the southwest curve called the Snake Pit. So yeah, by the year 1973, the Indianapolis police was installing spies in the Snake Pit. All you kids getting wild out there this May, hey, there's spies amongst you. Be careful out there. Shit's recorded now. Back when your dad may have very well been the Creek Man, don't become the Creek Boy. What may have been one of the craziest scenes at the Snake Pit was in 1975 when the debauchery got to an incredible level to an extent where the Indianapolis PD had to start firing tear gas on the crowd. Light race day Hoosier history hit just on the, you know, the name of the Snake Pit. The first publication of the name of the Snake Pit and just some of the events that happened there. All of you taking to the fields this Indy 500. You stay safe out there, Hoosiers. And with that, we are to the end of this off-season episode of the Often Daunted podcast, and I cannot thank you enough for having given me the listen. I mentioned at the top of the episode, this was the 99th episode. It's been 99 episodes of the Often Daunted podcast, and I appreciate if any of you have been sticking around for since the teens, like, that blows my mind. The show's grown. I really do take pride in just seeing the growth of it, and I appreciate all of you guys for giving me the listen. I am so excited for the 100th episode, as this year, for the 100th episode, I'm going to be moving the Daunties up. And the 2024 Often Daunted Daunties will be taking place next week for you. So please feel free, again, subscribe to the show. Gonna be an awesome 100th for you. Hopefully you can tune in. And if you can't, again, I just appreciate you for tuning into this one. God bless you and yours, Hoosier fans. Have yourself a lovely week. Take it easy. Lux et Veritas. And I'll be back next Monday. Go Hoosiers.